answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
FBI news alert. The FBI is disrupting an alleged plot targeting last weekend's UFC Freedom 250 event at the White House. Officials telling Fox a network of nearly two dozen suspects has been identified with at least five people in custody. The alleged plan included explosive-packed drones hitting buildings near the event, forcing a mass evacuation and steering crowds toward a pre-staged sniper team. A second wave was then planned to storm the White House gate. The FBI first learned of the threat last Wednesday and then worked with law enforcement across multiple states to stop it.
That could have been a disaster. But we had heads up. We had good, very good intel. And the Secret Service, combined with the FBI and at least a dozen other agencies across numerous states, all coordinated. And it never happened. And arrests have been made and arraignments pending. This was going to be a terrorist attack upon that cage match that President Trump had scheduled on his birthday on the White House lawn. We're going to have thousands of innocent people at risk, 5,000 attending inside the actual event stadium that had been built on the South Lawn, thousands others nearby watching giant monitors. But the lay terrorists don't care about innocent people. They love killing innocent people. And I want to point something out to you. Have you heard a single Democrat condemn the very fact such an attempt was being made? Have you heard one Democrat call that out and say, we cannot allow that to happen? Not one that I have seen. I have not seen any statements from Senator Fetterman, but I'm sure he's against it. And if you actually cornered one of these leftists, if I'm going to give them the assumption that they would be more focused on patriotism and protecting our president and American citizens, they would condemn it. But so far, they're not. But even the legacy media cannot really ignore it. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA, June 16, 2026. Some of you might not have been able to see the feed from yesterday on Rumble. We had some difficulties. We hope to get that squared away today. You can always go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, and it should be there. But also reminding you, everything we do goes up as a podcast later at Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Newstalk STL. And if you've got a phone, you've got a radio. You download our free Newstalk STL app, and you can listen from anywhere and hear our programming that's on at that moment. So if you're listening in Nevada, Montana, or Florida, like my daughter is right now, you're listening to Larry Connors USA. I'm glad to have you. With Larry Connors USA, in every hour, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right now. That is a guarantee. In our next hour, the whining Governor Newsom, oh my, they're picking on me. Like I give a damn. But you're going to hear from him a little bit later. And also my guest from the Heritage Foundation on why we need to work on building trust and confidence in AI. Now, I'm not so sure a lot of us are ready for that point. And later in this hour, Rabbi Barclay on the U.S.-Israeli relations, specifically Trump and Netanyahu relations, being a little strained lately. And our story behind the story. 1994, this month, 1994, the O.J. White Bronco chase on Los Angeles 405 freeway. 95 million were tuned in watching that chase? Were you one of them? The story behind the story is still to come. In the meantime, as I said, even the leftist media, while they're not condemning the attack and just staying silent because Trump was the target primarily, not counting the innocent civilians, they have to be forced to report on the drone threat. CNN.
Federal officials have arrested multiple people who they say discussed plots to attack the UFC event at the White House on Sunday, including, as Wolf mentioned, by using drones and a gunman. The official says a law enforcement team, including Secret Service and FBI personnel, uncovered messages discussing the plot between multiple individuals. FBI Director Kash Patel confirmed the arrests in a post on X this morning, Patel saying the alleged plot involved individuals who were outside the National Capital Region, that the FBI and local law enforcement partners became aware of the alleged threat last Wednesday, June 10th, that the alleged attacks were, quote, stopped cold, according to Patel, and that multiple people are in custody. Our source said the group discussed in messages attaching deadly payloads to drones in order to cause panic at the UFC event and to use a gunman to shoot at the crowds. But this is important. It's not clear right now how far this group was in the planning before law enforcement became aware of these messages.
So that's a viable factual report by CNN on the threat. But I haven't seen any guests they've had on that has condemned it. Jonathan Turley, legal expert for Fox News.
The fact is that the government is not the only party preparing for the July 4th celebrations. There are terrorist organizations that are drawn to the same events. If you are in the business of creating terror, there's no greater inducement than these types of celebrations, including the one at the White House. What is really chilling about this is the level of preparation and planning. This was not just some type of improvised device or a sniper. This was a well set out pattern of events to maximize casualties. And we have to keep in mind that under the Biden administration, millions of unvetted people were released into this country. It would be a very dangerous delusion to believe that these terrorist organizations and countries did not use that open border to bring people inside.
We know they did. And we've said repeatedly, an open border means you have no border, and there goes your security. That doesn't count the ones that we flew in from Afghanistan without properly vetting. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Democrat Michigan Senator Gary Peters was questioning Kash Patel, talking about the threat of terrorists inside our nation. Now, this is before this last weekend's event, but what he was asking, and Patel's response, is a day-to-day operation to protect our nation.
We have already seen at least three terrorist attacks related to that war, including one at Temple Israel in West Bloomfield, Michigan, where a Hezbollah-inspired attacker rammed a vehicle into a synagogue holding approximately 100 young children. And yet the FBI has not yet put out an intelligence bulletin about the threats to the homeland resulting from this war. Something that is, as I think you know, usually standard action in coordination with the National Counterterrorism Center and DHS, and is absolutely essential to ensuring that state, local, tribal, and territorial private sector partners are prepared for these threats that we are seeing and actual actions that we're seeing. So my question for you, Director Patel, just to confirm, has the FBI, in coordination with NCTC and DHS, issued a joint Homeland Threat Intelligence Bulletin to state, local, tribal, territorial, and private sector partners on the threats from Iran and its proxies as a result of this war?
I know we have pushed out numerous PSAs, and I believe through the ODNI, we have spoken collectively on the matter, but on the synagogue attack, the FBI directly coordinated with the synagogue 3 weeks before and provided training, which the synagogue themselves stated helped prevent the loss of
No, I agree with that. Certainly, I have a question later, but that was a good thing. Absolutely.
So he's acknowledging, yeah, what you did to help protect the synagogue was a good thing. What does he want? Did he want a memo delivered directly to him to say that we're aware of it and we're doing this? You know memos and information were being exchanged between the agencies. But he says, well, I didn't see a direct memo. And if I didn't get the direct memo, I assume no one else. That's the impression I got. I don't know if that was his thinking or not. But the bottom line is he seemed to be more concerned that I was left out of the loop. Well, maybe you never should have been in the loop to begin with. Now, he's in a position in Congress where, yeah, he has right to be knowledgeable of some of this stuff, has the clearances for it. But questioning Battelle, well, did you send out notices? Did you send out memos? They do it on a daily basis. And the threats he's talking about are simply coming from Iran, not mentioning the attempted assassinations on President Trump, or another threat, which Kristi Noem is talking about. I'll come back to that in a moment. But once again, let's go back a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, Michigan Senator Gary Peters still pressing Battelle. I didn't get my notice.
What I'm saying is we've sent out, the FBI sent out PSAs to all our state and local partners, and I'll check with ODNI, but we should have sent out a coordinated, collected message out on that front.
Well, if you could forward that to me, because we have not seen that, so I'd appreciate that if that's the case. If you could forward that to our office, I would appreciate it.
Senator Peters, is a PSA the same thing that Senator Peters is asking about?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
We'll see. I'm as ranking member of Homeland Security and Government Affairs, Chairman Paul and I, working in a bipartisan way, Chairman Paul, have requested a committee briefing about these threats, about the threats related to what's happening as a result of the war in Iran. About a month and a half ago, we're still waiting to get that briefing from the FBI, and we're the Committee on Homeland Security in the U.S. Senate. Can I get a commitment from you that we will get that briefing as soon as possible?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to give you a briefing. Maybe I'm being too harsh on the Michigan senator, but I get the impression it's all because I didn't get the information I thought I should be getting. Now, they are entitled to a briefing, and certainly him in his position. And he's focused on Iran threats. Battelle and everybody else at the top-ranked security in our nation are watching for threats from every sector. That includes inside our nation. That includes threats directly against President Trump. And Kristi Noem, the former Department of Homeland Security Secretary, is saying in an interview that we have seen very coordinated attacks of people coming into this country from China. And countries I have worked with in Latin and South America have told us how they had Chinese operations set up for people to fly into their countries, almost like a travel agency. They would be given certain documents, a backpack, get on a bus straight across our border. Thank you, Joe Biden. It was that easy. And she points out overwhelmingly they have been the same aged individuals, young mainly men, some females, a very much coordinated attempt to get them inside our country. And she says, basically, this is all to funnel Chinese nationalists across our borders. And what they're looking at is a 1,000-year preparation to destroy our nation. And they're moving forward. But nobody on the left dared question Joe Biden about the threat he was causing. Not one. Not one. And now it's in our backyard. The Biden government and Biden legacy media broke the trust Americans had or should have in our nation's medical experts when it came to COVID. Recently, Wisconsin GOP Senator Ron Johnson made that point.
Legacy media, federal health officials, and the medical establishment continue to ignore and hide the lies told and the harms done by governments in response to the coronavirus. Alternate media has been spreading the truth to a growing percentage of the global public. As a result, trust in these institutions is eroding. The only way to rebuild that lost trust is for the truth to be acknowledged in a process of public reckoning. The hearings I've been holding are intended to contribute to that reckoning. Today we'll hear from highly credentialed and experienced doctors and medical researchers who will discuss the plausible mechanisms of COVID mRNA injection harms. They will also describe the attacks they are experiencing on their research and reputations because they have the courage to expose the truth.
They are exposing the truth. And in fact, one who is a cancer specialist made a point to tell the committee, and I guess this is a couple of months ago, that I felt we needed to reinforce as to how they continue to try to hide the bean under the button or under the shell, so it's not going to end up in their lap. It'll end up in your lap, and you'll be the one to suffer. This cancer doctor was talking about the links he saw between his cancer patients and the COVID vaccine.
I became aware in early 22 of my patients who'd been stable for years, do mainly melanoma patients. They'd had several different types of immunotherapy. And in 6 weeks, I saw six patients relapse with melanoma. They had, they'd been stable for 3 to 18 years. They felt well, apart from the relapse, and being investigative, I asked, you know, what was the thing that was common. And the thing that was common is they'd all received a booster vaccine from their general practitioners. And initial investigations show that this was likely to be true.
Likely to be true that it was hurting cancer patients. And of course, the Democrats are quickly peddling as much election fraud noise as they can, saying, we got to watch out. Trump will be stealing this election. They're careful to put Russia in connection with them because that blew up in their face. But the voter ID and the photo ID, oh, Hillary Clinton bears down on that.
You carry through what they're doing to try to undermine voting. They're trying to kick people off voting rolls. They're trying to demand, you know, forms of identification that most real people don't have, and most older people and most rural people don't have. They're certainly redistricting to make it difficult to elect black representatives or Latino representatives or Democrats. So that means we have to be even more intentional in showing up and voting.
So how do you explain the members in the GOP who are black or Latino or some other minority? Oh, I guess they just miscast a ballot. And you farm people, you rural people, you're too dumb to get a driver's license. You already have one. The same old CRAP from Hillary Clinton. Coming up, Rabbi Barclay on Trust in Netanyahu, the story behind the story. The OJ Bronco chase, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Great relationship with BB, but now BB has to be more responsible with respect to Lebanon. Lebanon used to be a great country. It was a country where you had professors, doctors, lawyers. The great intellect was in Lebanon. Now it's just, it's terrible. I would say of all countries, they've been treated the worst. And they can't defend themselves. And they have Hezbollah, which is a problem for them. So, no, I'm not happy with the way Israel has handled themselves with Lebanon and with Hezbollah. They should have been able to do the job faster. It just goes on forever. And when that happens, it throws a negative light on the big deal, and that's the deal with Iran.
That is President Trump talking about Bibi Netanyahu and what Israel has been doing in firing back into Lebanon and still occupying some Lebanese territory to go after Hezbollah. And I'm going to add a couple more quotes. In The Hill, Trump is quoted as saying, "There would be no Israel without me." I think that is a way over-the-top statement. And he also added in a statement to Axios, "Netanyahu has no effing judgment." That is according to Trump. My guest, Rabbi Michael Barclay, he's author of the podcast Rabbi's Table, Dialogue Not Debate. Rabbi, first of all, do you see a collision course now between Netanyahu and Trump, or U.S. and Israel?
I hope not. What's happened in the last week with President Trump is so disturbing and so out of character and so imbalanced. So I hope that this is not going to create more space between Israel and the U.S.
Well, what about his statement? What do you think of that statement, Netanyahu has no effing judgment?
I think that Donald Trump needs to take care of the United States and Bibi Netanyahu needs to take care of Israel. And sometimes those goals are in alignment. And sometimes they may not be. But the only reason that they're not is is when America and specifically Trump are thinking we don't have to be in alliance with Israel. The U.S. needs Israel almost as much as Israel needs the U.S.
Well, according to Trump, as he quoted in The Hill, there would be no Israel without me. As I said, I think that's way beyond the pale.
I'm trying to be very polite.
You can hear
I might want to remind I might want to remind President Trump that there'd be no Israel without God, and he wouldn't be alive after Butler without God's hand saving him. Amen. And maybe Amen. God saved his life at Butler to help Israel.
That's a very good point, Rabbi. Now, Trump also apparently has told Netanyahu, be responsible with Lebanon. Let Syria handle Hezbollah. They made that statement at the G7. Does that sound like a sound statement?
That sounds, no, it does not. Syria is being run by a man who used to be on the top 10 terrorist list. And Syria has no love for Israel. All of this is really problematic. I want to believe that this is not because of Trump, that he's listening to the wrong advisor, and he's listening to J.D. Vance, Steve Wickoff, and Jared Kushner, as opposed to listening to Rubio, who he should be listening to.
Well, Jared Kushner
his ego
is,
and what's going on isn't right.
Jared Kushner is Jew, as you well know, and he and his wife have a child. They're raising Jewish. I mean, so... Trump understands the Jewish view, obviously, and has always said Israel is our greatest ally in the Middle East. But this personality clash and these kinds of statements, I find disturbing, I'll be honest.
Well, first of all, both Steve Wickoff and Jared Kushner are Jewish. However, they both have made significant deals with Qatar and Saudi Arabia, financing sources. And so just because someone is born a Jew does not mean that they're living by Jewish values or that their loyalty is to Israel in any way, shape, or form, or loyal to the peace, if their loyalty is to money in this case. So and Vance is an anti-Semite. So I think he's just listening to the wrong guys. And he's doubling down, and his ego's getting in the way. And you know, this is a real challenge because the reality is that there's a war going on between the Islamic world and the Western civilization, and Israel's the front line of defense, and Trump is abandoning them and is betraying them.
Well, now, to that point, you're listening to Rabbi Michael Barclay again, podcast, his own podcast, The Rabbi's Table, Dialogue, Not Debate, perfect statement for that. I'm not a full Trumper. Always, forever. I often question what he does. I question these remarks, but I don't see that he's actually turning his back on Israel, as I thought I caught a hint in your last statement. Am I wrong?
With respect, I think you are.
All right. Explain.
This deal is a total betrayal of Israel. Iran is getting more than they had before the war started. You can't tie Israel's hands. They've been tied too long in terms of they're being attacked by Hezbollah every day. When they're attacked, Hezbollah, like Hamas, has built their bases in civilian homes. The only way to take them out is to go to those civilian targets. Israel does it in a very targeted way. To try and tie their hands is to try and say, just wait for another October 7th.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
Reinforce and to empower Iran with more. The sanctions they announced this morning are being entirely released immediately upon the opening of the Strait of Hormuz.
But of course, there still has.
He's given more to Iran than they had before the war started.
And you're talking about money and opening up the Strait again and allowing the oil flow, which means money for Iran. But the nuclear deal, which is the key point, still going to be another 60 days of discussions. And what do you think is going to be happening in Iran during those 60 days?
So just like you think, Larry, they're going to be building more weapons, developing more. They've hidden their uranium. They've buried the enriched uranium so that it's very difficult to get to. It's not going to get diluted. It's not going to get destroyed. And I think that unless Trump has some machinations that no one understands, and all of this is a lie, I think this is going to make Trump's legacy be that of Chamberlain as opposed to Churchill.
That's a powerful statement for those familiar with history. He did say, and I'm quoting again, Trump, I was a little bit perturbed at his constant talking about Netanyahu constantly fighting with Lebanon. And at some point I said, BB, we got to stop this. We got to stop it. We've acknowledged before that Israel has a right to defend itself. We defend ourselves if our naval ships are attacked by Iran. And yet he's telling BB that he cannot defend against Hezbollah?
It seems kind of problematic, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
And not exactly in constant or consistency. The argument when no one died, so you shouldn't attack Bibi. You shouldn't. Israel shouldn't respond. Iran attacks the U.S. and the U.S. immediately attacks, but no one was killed. You can't, and Rubio said it perfectly, if a country is attacked and they don't respond, they're stupid. And that's a direct quote from Marco Rubio.
Yes, sir.
And that's probably the smartest and best person in that administration.
Yeah, I think he has shown an amazing amount of skill. And in fact, I think many, as they look ahead to the next presidential election, Trump had made a statement the other day that I think a Vance Rubio ticket would be hard to beat, by those very words suggesting Vance would be ahead of Rubio. But I don't think that's the way the public's going to see it.
I think you're right. I think there's been a constant battle between the wisdom of Rubio and the slandering of Vance. I don't have a lot of respect for Vice President Vance, but because of his ethics. And if you notice the last 2 weeks, we hear a lot of talk from Vance. Vance is in the spotlight while Rubio has been taken out of it. So Trump clearly wants a Vance ticket. He clearly wants Vance to run for president. My hope and prayer is in 28, Rubio, even though he said he wouldn't, Rubio runs for president, and we don't have to be saddled with a human being like J.D. Vance.
I want to be don't want to belabor the point, but did I hear you say that you had problems with Vance on, I can't even recall the exact words right now, in the last 30 seconds, you don't think he would be good for Israel?
His favorite podcaster is Theo Vaughn, who's an anti-Semite. He for years hired Tucker Carlson's son, Tucker being one of the world's worst anti-Semites and worst anti-Israel people, and Vance hired him. Those are just two examples. He has no sense of history. He said that last week that all wars end in World War I and World War II. That's just a point-blank lie. World War II ended in the unconditional surrender of Germany and Japan. Wars don't end in negotiation. They end because someone loses.
Unconditional surrender, as it were. Rabbi, I want to thank you for your time. We've often had to book you, but you are obviously very busy. But I do thank you for allowing the time today, sir.
Anytime you need me, sir. And thank you so much for what you do, for what your audience does. And God bless you and your family.
God bless you, sir. Rabbi Michael Barclay, you can listen to his podcast, The Rabbi's Table. Coming up, the story behind the story, O.J. Bronco Chase.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day, because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. To the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
I'm going to have to interrupt this call. I understand we're going to go to a live picture in Los Angeles. Is that correct? Okay, this is Interstate 5, and this is courtesy of KCALR, one of our LA affiliates. Police believe that
right now
that O.J. Simpson is in that car. Now they're telling me that they believe that this vehicle is registered to Al Cowlings, one of O.J.'s oldest friends, a teammate at Southern Cal.
Want to pressure the vehicle and just hope that.
And they believe that Al Cowling, who's the other person they're looking for, who was with O.J. earlier today, they believe, again, they believe that this is the car. We do not know this is the car.
Pat,
they're going south through Orange County, but nobody is pulling this car over. And we could only guess as to why not.
Right, I guess they're just being
careful.
They
may fear that there are arms in that car. They may fear that Simpson may harm himself. Now, police radio is saying that Simpson has a gun at his head. Reuters is reporting that the police tracked O.J. Simpson through his cellular phone.
They're look at all the cars on this radio. Next bridge, man.
That's a helicopter reporting, talking to KCAL, saying, look at all those cars on that bridge looking down.
That was a report as stated by Larry King on this month, 1994, the O.J. Bronco chase. Of course, this followed the murder of two people, Nicole Simpson and Ron Johnson. O.J. knew he was going to be accused of it, going to be arrested for it, indicted for it, and he started on the run. Now, the event actually happened June 17, which would be tomorrow. But we have another story behind the story we're going to cover tomorrow. And on one hand, obviously, is bigger than the one we're covering today. And I'll explain that for you later. But how many of you were watching that Bronco chase along Interstate 405 for hours? Well, I should say for 45 minutes or longer. It wasn't hours. Let me correct that. And it did turn out to be his friend Al Cowlings driving. The report from Larry King continues.
This is Larry King as we stay atop this scene. Jim Hill, famed sportscaster in Los Angeles, an old friend, a former athlete, old friend of O.J. Simpson, is going on radio in Los
just
Angeles.
Still going westbound 91, just approaching
O.J. Simpson to turn himself in. The last thing Jim said was, O.J., you were a man, you are a man,
here's one of those
be a man,
crowd
turn yourself in. Earlier today, Robert Shapiro had arranged for O.J. to turn himself in. Doctors were in attendance. They were all going to go together in a car because they were worried about suicide. When they went downstairs from a conference room in O.J.'s house, he was gone. They're going to go right toward the Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Brentwood areas where O.J. lives and where the two people killed also lived.
Again, that was Larry King reporting on the events as they were unfolding. And there were O.J. supporters lining the freeway. They were seeing the coverage. They were racing out to be at the 405, either as he went under an overpass or as he drove down that section of the 405. And reporter Eric Spillman picks up the story.
It is an amazing sight. Along the right-hand shoulder, people have pulled over, many of them carrying signs such as signs reading things like "Save the Juice," "Go OJ." People are literally cheering him on as he travels northbound on the 405, and we can only assume that he plans to get off at sunset and go towards perhaps his home.
He's on the off-ramp now, coming up the off-ramp at sunset.
That's right.
Looks like he's in the left lane now.
Yeah.
Making a left turn. The intersection is free, and he's clear, and now making his left turn westbound on sunset.
All right. And he is pulling in to the driveway.
Coming around.
Someone is going to the door right now, Eric.
Okay. We're pulling up. Let me tell you what I can see. We've just turned the corner. It's total chaos here. Motorcycles, black and whites, people running around, officers getting out of their cars with their batons.
We have found him. The door is opening, and let's see what happens now. We'll watch with you. This is the driver's side of the vehicle.
Okay, someone just got out of the vehicle, approaching the front door, dressed in black, and entered. Looks like they entered the front of the house there. Possibly O.J. Simpson.
Now, again, this was June 17, a year and a day, or four, several years and a day from 1994. The nation was spellbound, caught up in the event. But I do not want you to forget, despite all the live coverage on national TV, to 95 million viewers where it all started. And that was with the death of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Author Lawrence Schiller presented some information.
Author and filmmaker Lawrence Schiller had unprecedented access to O.J. through O.J.'s friend Robert Kardashian.
And Robert said, "Larry, I got to sit down. I got to play you a tape."
Robert shared this audio recording Simpson made at Kardashian's house just hours before the infamous Bronco chase.
Let me play you a little bit of it. He was recording this almost like a suicide tape.
"Oh, boy. I don't know how I ended up here. Please remember me as a juice. Please remember me as a good guy. Don't remember me as one of the negative that might end up here."
That's what O.J. intended to be his final words.
"Please remember me as the juice."
Moments after making that tape, the juice was discovered by Robert Kardashian, who described what happened next in an audio-taped interview.
"He was sitting there with a gun and his pictures of his kids and of Nicole. And then O.J. said, 'I'm going to kill myself in this room.' And I said, 'You can't.' I said, 'This is my daughter's bedroom.'"
He first wanted to kill himself in Kim Kardashian's bedroom.
Right, Kimmy's bedroom, yeah.
"I can't have my little girl in this bedroom. And every time I come in here, I'm going to see your body laying in this."
OJ's desperation culminated in that Bronco chase later that day.
"In the number three lane at approximately 30 miles an hour."
His friend, AC Cowlings, is behind the wheel.
"This is AC. I have OJ in the car. He's still alive, but he got a gun to his head."
A gun to his head, so obviously he was armed. Now, if you recall those scenes, there were four or five troopers occupying all the lanes behind the Bronco. and others were being cleared from the freeway in advance of them approaching. And as we pointed out, numerous folks were gathering on the overpasses, and they were cheering for O.J. Cheering for O.J. And yes, there was a racial divide among those cheering for him, and it also surfaced again after the verdict would come out the following year. But for now, let's stay in the moment and police trying to contact O.J.
A Los Angeles police detective tries to get Simpson to turn himself in.
Just throw the gun out the window. Please, you're scaring everybody.
I can't take this.
Oh, yes, you can. Don't do this.
All I did was love Nicole. All I did was love her.
What we have here is a suicidal man, O.J. Simpson.
I had no idea at that time what was going on.
Kris Jenner, ex-wife of Robert Kardashian, was close to both O.J. and Nicole.
It definitely sealed in everyone's mind who was watching that there's a possibility that, you know, this guy's going to kill himself, and he probably did it.
Finally, the Bronco returns to OJ's estate. AC Cowlings, who was still in the car with OJ, desperately pleading with OJ not to kill himself.
Oh, no, please. Listen to me. Listen to me, OJ. Listen to me. OJ, no. No, OJ.
Eventually, OJ Simpson relents, and police take him into custody, arresting him on murder charges.
And then, of course, then that led to the trial with the so-called Dream Team. But did they really believe O.J. was innocent, and was it a true dream team, the best of the bus, the best, I should say? So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
911 emergency.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Well, okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record. Could you just send somebody over here? Going nuts.
Just stay on the line.
I don't want to stay on the line. I'm going to beat the
Wait a minute. Wait.
Her voice pleading for somebody to come to her house, that was so shocking to me because I had never heard that before.
Suddenly, the warnings Nicole had given to friends like Kris Jenner began to make sense.
The one thing she would tell all of us by the time, you know, it got to that level was, he's going to kill me. And he's going to get away with it.
But there is an avalanche of forensic evidence connecting Simpson to the crime scene. His blood and DNA are all at the murder scene, along with a size 12 shoe print, OJ size. And in his Bronco, blood consistent with Ron and Nicole's blood. And in his bedroom, a pair of socks with Nicole's blood.
Every piece of evidence pointed to OJ. There was no identifiable other suspects except for OJ.
Now, in the civil trial, which followed the criminal trial, O.J., under deposition, could not elude a lot of the questioning for a deposition, and he did concede, yeah, that looks like my footprint, acknowledged it. But that could not be done during the criminal case. But a civil trial operates under different rules and structure, and Fifth Amendment doesn't always apply, if at all. Now, if you watch the day that the verdict was read and you watch the lawyers, the so-called dream team, huddled around him, you could not help but notice in front of O.J. was Robert Kardashian. And I remember distinctly how his mouth just dropped in awe and in shock when they announced that he was innocent. The others were all congratulating O.J., but Kardashian, just his closest friend, looked at him with his mouth open thinking, well, I can't tell you what he was thinking, but he did not expect that verdict because of all of the evidence. His wife, Kris Jenner.
I asked Robert several times, what are you doing? I think that he wanted to believe in OJ's innocence so badly.
The defense shifted the focus to the Los Angeles Police Department.
Mark Furman.
Their strategy? Accused the police of framing Simpson by mishandling and even planting evidence. But perhaps the defense's biggest win is the prosecution's biggest blunder. They ask him to try on the bloody glove found at the scene of the crime. Nearly everyone knows what happens next. That bloody glove becomes a rhyming rallying cry for the defense.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Take a look at this video of an impromptu celebration at Simpson's house. A jubilant Simpson rejoicing at his acquittal.
Yes!
Kris Jenner remembers watching her ex-husband Robert Kardashian's face as the verdict was announced.
I think he was shocked. He was definitely stunned. I mean, you could look at his face and see it.
After the trial, Robert Kardashian would distance himself from OJ. 8 years later, while dying of cancer, he would not take OJ's phone call.
OJ did try to reach out and call him, but Robert didn't take the call.
Did not take the call. A lot of that material you were listening to from CBS, ABC, and other news operative. In his book, Outrage, The Five Reasons Why O.J. Simpson Got Away with Murder, Vincent Bugliosi, I should say, who wrote about the Manson murders, dismissed the idea that Simpson's defense team was a true dream team. He said Shapiro had never tried a murder case before. Cochran was primarily a civil lawyer who may not have won a single murder case before a jury. If Lee Bailey was there, he lost his last big case with Patty Hearst earlier. Dershowitz was there, a prominent appellate lawyer, not a trial lawyer. But in the end, O.J. was found not guilty, to the surprise, obviously, of his friend and attorney, Robert Kardashian. Our story behind the story tomorrow will be June 17, 1972. The Watergate scandal broke. We have another hour to come on Larry Connors USA. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law is already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.